He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.
It is indeed, and we're going to start this week's show with a discussion about car and driver's test in the latest issue on Ford's Lightning pickup, which I have yet to see one around our broadcast corner, but I am looking anxiously to hopefully we'll see one soon and be able to get hold of its owner and see how he or she likes it. But the car and driver test is very interesting because it does address, in my opinion, some of the things that we have talked off and on about electric vehicles in general. It doesn't have to be a pickup truck. It can be anything, which is range anxiety, because all the ranges that you see in the advertisements and publicity materials are for vehicles that are basically unloaded or lightly loaded, as opposed to fully loaded. Fully loaded is more appropriately applied to pickup truck use because of the pickup beds and what pickup trucks are very often used for, which is carrying stuff or towing trailers, which will add a great load rate to the vehicle, causing a lot larger battery drains and quicker battery drains of the battery power than gasoline-loaded versions or diesel-loaded versions would undertake to deal with. Along with this discussion, I am sending a letter to a magazine suggesting that they load up a Ford 150 pickup gas vehicle and a Ford Lightning vehicle with equal load, going over hills and valleys as opposed to straight parallel flat highways to see how each would fare in both in time to get there, starting out at the same time from the departure way and seeing how much longer it takes the presumed Lightning to get there as opposed to the fossil fuel vehicle. Because I would like to see, that would be a real-world test of the difference between the battery-powered vehicles and the electric
vehicles. I take it you didn't see the Daily Mail article last week about rural police cars, quote, running out of puff, unquote. When you have the lights on, you know, with the lights and the heat on.
You mean rural police vehicles that are all electric?
Yeah.
I did not. I'd love to see it.
I will find that for you. But
this is the
kind
of thing that we have been discussing on this show for a long time and is woefully excluded from discussions in the publicity materials that are going out on these vehicles. There's no question. We've talked almost ad infinitum about how cold weather affects electric vehicle batteries, along with winter loads on those batteries, use loads on those batteries versus summer use loads, although I'm not sure the air conditioning versus the heater is a whole lot different as far as those two items are concerned. But at any rate, this is something that is not going to affect people that do not drive long distances in a single day type of situation. It's going to affect people who might buy electric vehicles as opposed to sticking with fossil fuel vehicles, who drive long distances as I used to do and I still like to do when I want to get from point A to point B in a daytime and I don't have any particular health or physical constraints in being able to make a long trip. And a long trip is anything over 500 miles, or maybe 400 miles for many, on a daytime situation, and I've been known to do 800 miles in a day, and the day was probably an 16-18-hour day. And I know some people who drive straight through from Florida to Connecticut, if they've got drivers that can do that kind of thing, so they can pass off one drive from one driver to the next. In any event, as the charging rates go down or charging times go down, which this article did address in certain charging methods, depending on the strength of the charger, it could take from let's say, 30 to 40 minutes to hours to charge these electric vehicles. It doesn't have to be a pickup truck. It can be all the electric vehicles. For example, if you buy a Tesla and you park it in your driveway at your house and you plug that Tesla into your 110-volt or 110-volt plug as opposed to a 240 plug and a high-speed charger, as a car and driver mentioned in a letter section of their magazine this month, it could take 4 days or 5 days to charge a Lucid vehicle from 10% to around 90%, just using that kind of charger or charger source. And the high-speed charger that they suggested a Lucid would use, it could take 46 minutes to charge a currently, this is at current rates apparently, a Lucid to charge from 10 to 90%. So we're talking about 46 minutes at a fast rate for a very, very well-received vehicle that's now on the roads for some owners to 5 days, or 4 or 5 days. This is the kind of thing that electric owners have to figure out before they go out, and electric buyers have to go figure out before they go and buy, just sort of plunk down the cash and try to buy a fully electric car. While the times are getting shorter, the charging speeds are getting greater, you still have the next big thing that I'm just going to stick with and stay away from as long as I'm a long-distance driver, the potential of overloading roadside stops that have limited numbers of charging stations as more and more electric vehicles get on the road. Now, I think we're 10 years from or maybe 5 years from seeing this kind of numerical load factor appearing on most of the roads, or most of the highway roads that are around. But as I think I mentioned on a previous show, I went by a charging station port on one of the parkways in Connecticut a few weeks back and saw three out of the four ports were attached to vehicles awaiting some charging, some rate of charging to go on to the next destination that they may have been heading for. That was three out of only four ports available already. That will not often happen. We have Tesla charging ports in Canaan, Connecticut here. There are eight stanchions. I was at Stop and Shop over the weekend, a recent weekend, and there were no Teslas there taking on a charge. So they were empty, whereas there were people filling up gasoline vehicles at the gas stations right around the corner. So this is the kind of thing that we will have to endure and watch what happens, not to mention the load factor that's going to be applied to the electric grid.
Right, exactly.
The
same electric grid that...
same electric grid, right.
Being told
that... trying to cool the western part of the United States.
And that we're being told expect blackouts here in the United States. Thank you very much. That same electric grid is now supposed to... And there's also the... I don't even know what to call it, the disconnect. Let's call it the green disconnect.
There are a lot of other little factors that are being, if not deliberately ignored in a lot of articles talking about electric transition that are ignored just in general. And you pose some of them. If you have a sudden power outage at any of these places, the convenience of being in a fossil fuel vehicle that's got a half a tank or better fuel left over is going to be much greater than it's going to be if you're at your charging station along a highway byway situation. And in the it's probably not going to happen often, but in the occasional case where it might happen, you could be really sort of inconvenienced for quite some time. But the other thing that's going on right now in the early stages of Electrify America stations, if not Tesla stations, is there was a few weeks ago there was discussion about a survey that was conducted on the alternative to Tesla charging stations, and many of them were out of service for one reason or another. So they're having teething problems getting the structure, the availability of electric charging station structure up and running across the whole country as they lurch towards trying to figure out where they should be locating these charging ports so that people are not going to be inconvenienced. And you really cannot sit there and say, well, 90% of the people should not be inconvenienced by on a discussion like this. One person being inconvenienced is all it's going to take to have somebody be very sorry that they went electric. And as you mentioned earlier in this discussion, I did not see that publication of where apparently electric police vehicles were running out of puff, as you say.
I sent it to you simply because I like the run out of puff thing. And mostly it was a charging. It is to the point of that you have to think about things like your, in this case, sirens,
well,
heat.
You know, we have to carry this just a minute more because this goes to the heart of people who pay attention to things like gauges and stuff on their drive, in their vehicles as they're driving, as those who don't. And we know some people, or I know some people, who just never look at their gas gauge until it's almost too late or is too late and they run out of gas. Every time I see a vehicle on the side of the road with somebody filling it with gasoline, I wonder why they let it get to the point where they ran out of gas. That could happen with people looking at electric gauges on their vehicles. I'm sure there are warning signs like yellow lights that come on for low fuel in the tank situation. But if you are stargazing, let's say, and not looking at your dashboard or not alert to those kinds of things, you could be inconvenienced in either case. Gas or electric, as it so often sometimes happens, and that just is another annoying factor that might increase the annoyance with the alternative to fossil fuel vehicles as we go forward, as we race forward into the future, which is happening a lot faster than I think Jay and I thought on this show as long as a year ago when it was in its infancy. But with the high gas prices, which incidentally are coming down, it has accelerated the interest in electric vehicle alternative usages greatly. And I know several people that are lying in wait for their electric vehicle orders to or electric vehicles to be delivered to them far more quickly than I think they might have been thinking they were going to consider it. Enough on that, I think. We will talk about fuel prices. It's interesting that between the southern part of Connecticut and the northern part of Connecticut, that we are gratefully, in my case, aware that the gas prices up in this corner are less expensive than they are further south, in Fairfield County particularly. Between that area and here, regular prices were still at $4.99, and in some cases over $5 in Fairfield County, at some Fairfield County stations, as recently as early July. And whereas when I got up here, as you know, Jill, it's at $4.49 a gallon at a couple of our local stations, and it varies a few cents here and there between Tarrington, Winstead, Canaan, and Lakeville, say, but it is blessedly well below $5. This is for regular grade gas only, listeners. Your premium is still over $5. Your plus grade is closing in on $5. But those of us who make sure that we buy vehicles that run acceptably on regular grade gas are benefiting from the recent reduction in gas prices. And it's anybody's guess whether it's going to get down below $4 a gallon before the end of 2022 or not.
Do you know what Stockholm Syndrome is?
I don't.
It's when you start identifying with your captor. What I think is really hilarious is, you know, we're so grateful that it's down 10 cents at 4 in this Monday, the 11th of July, is at 4:45 in Sharon. It's like 4:45.
Oh, it came down 4 cents or so over.
But irrespective of that, you go, oh, yay, it's down, rather than, oh, my gosh, we're still paying $2-plus dollars.
That's correct. We are still paying $2-plus dollars.
Which
I do not have any knowledge, and I'm trying to find out if people will start figuring out how to figure out what it is costing them to charge their electric vehicles at an overnight charge, say. There is a way to get a meter that you can probably attach to the receptacle in your charging station. Maybe not your charging station, but if you're plugging in just through your outlets at your house, you can put a meter in between the plug and the plug outlet in your house, which will tell you how many kilowatt hours you'll use from start to finish if you are so willing to keep a book on that. And then you multiply it by your kilowatt hour rate on your electric bill, and you can see exactly what it costs you to fill up a car.
Right.
So I don't know whether charging rates are costing people $5 for a charge or $8 a charge. In any case, I filled up a vehicle over in Sharon over the weekend, and it cost me $90 because it was a 20-gallon tank and it was empty. And at $4.49, I did it. I guess you do the math. It was just about $90 to fill it.
Yeah.
And I know it doesn't cost $90 to charge a car overnight.
No, you just have to buy it, and then you only travel the limited.
Right. You do have to buy an electric vehicle. When you buy an electric vehicle, you got to buy a charging station for your house unless you want to just plug it into the 110-volt outlet and wait, in some cases, easily overnight to get enough of a charge to drive, you know, 20 miles a day or 50
It seems that we've just returned to the disconnect that we concluded that we weren't
Correct.
Going to talk about. So we will
we'll end it, okay?
If you like.
Let's see what else is going on.
Well, before you start that, I would just like to know, is there any car that you are slathering over?
No.
Okay.
There's no car that I'm slathering over. I have no intention of purchasing any additional vehicles in my fleet anytime soon.
Okay.
There are a lot of nice cars out there. And let me tell you, you watch the ads for cars on sports programs, and in this case, I was watching Wimbledon recently, and Mercedes was up there with the big ad campaign on their new, I think it's an all-electric Mercedes sedan. But what interested me most about the ad, other than that it was for electric cars, they have all sorts of exotic sort of temptations, or not all. There's just one or two temptation aspects of the ad that I caught my fancy, and that is the multicolor interior option for the lighting systems in the cars that you, as the driver, can choose. And the colors they showed on the ad on TV, because all the TVs are color, of course, was red, green, and maybe there was blue in some cases. And you can change the ambiance color inside the vehicle to those colors, so that the lights in the door pockets and under the dashboard, down at your feet, or maybe even the overhead lights in the car can be colorized in this particular line of Mercedes that was advertised a lot over the or is still being advertised. No, Wimbledon's over through Wimbledon. So there's no end to what promoters of vehicle sales can do to try to entice you to go and look at a vehicle, maybe making you even want to buy one, which may have nothing to do with the propulsion mechanism of the vehicle, but has to do with new innovative things that may entice people to go get out of their chairs and go down to a dealer and start looking at cars to buy. That's just a side comment, because I was fascinated by the Mercedes ad, and maybe if I were years younger and my pockets were full of more money than they are now, I'd be enticed to go down and look at one of those vehicles.
All right.
No. To answer your question, I'm not interested in anything major.
Except that at least there's something that caught your fancy. That's what I was trying. I was trying to cruise for.
Well, the Broncos are caught my fancy, but not enough to want to buy one. I think the new Broncos are wonderful. I think they look great, four-door or two-door. My original car, for those who are listening for the first time, were two Broncos, a 69 and a 73. I love those. They were only two-door in those days. But the new ones are bigger, as are the Wranglers, bigger than they were in the 60s of last century. And They're bigger in some ways because they have to be safer than they were back then. The wheelbases are longer in some instances. They are wider. The vehicles are wider now than they were back in those in the early versions of both the Wranglers and the Broncos. And they're wider, so they won't tip over as easily. They are less maneuverable for those who really want to take them off roads. There's a Raptor out that's called a Bronco, a Raptor version of the Ford Bronco, which is wider than the current non-Raptor or Raptor version of the Ford Bronco. And I wrote a piece or a comment on this show, actually, that the wider it is, the less agile it is going down wooded paths and over narrow lanes of farm roads and that kind of thing. They're great for bounding over desert dunes, I guess, but they're not as good for going up narrow country roads that we have here in the northwestern part of Connecticut and up into Vermont and Maine if you go off-roading. So sometimes the older versions, like many older versions of cars, I think some of us like the older versions because they're less complicated than the new ones. But in this case, the older versions were more agile because they were just smaller in both width and length so that they could be more maneuverable going around corners and on the narrow country roads that I used to do when I showed land and real estate. That's another comment for the masses. Trucks are bigger than ever. I'm noting how big the biggest pickup trucks are over those of 30 years ago. Some of the mid-size pickup trucks look about the same size as what probably were the full-size pickup trucks, four decades or more ago. Bigger is better in many cases in terms of the advertisers and the producer's size, but they're not always greater in the user's eyes as for the aforementioned comments that I just made about the Broncos and the Wranglers.
All right. Well, it's good to get your it's good to get your car savvy interest juices flowing again. You've got a minute to please tell the world to share the roads properly.
Oh, it's just crazy. I've had some friends of mine noticing this situation about the lack of courtesy signaling with your signal lights, the lack of even leaving enough distance between you and the car behind you, or the driver behind you is not leaving enough distance. I had somebody just about bumper to bumper with me all the way from Sharon to Lakeville. You do not want to put your brakes on suddenly just because you're angry at this, but every time I looked in the mirror, they were right there. And if I'd had to stop suddenly, people seem to all be in too much of a hurry. Slow down and share the road, as you said earlier. The bicyclists are out all over the place. There are lots of walkers and runners. And let me tell you, when they're in the shadows of the trees and at certain times in the evening hours as the sun is going down, they are all but invisible. And the only way you're going to see them is if you have your eyes glued through the windshield to the road in front of you instead of somewhere else inside the car, such as your iPhone. And boy, people are on their iPhones while they're driving all the time.
Right, and not to mention the fact that they are now fully reliant on that for directions. So that becomes a complication.
Yes, Waze comes through your iPhone, and you are absolutely correct. You are on your phone for directions, if nothing else, when you're traveling.
He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.